Hey there, legal pagers. So as an attorney and a photographer, I am constantly asked about what happens to your contract if, say, a parent pays or great aunt Emmy pays. The main thing you want to remember here is that your contract will change when you add a third-party payor to your services. You want to ensure that the clients are still the clients that you're serving on the day of the event, but you also want to ensure that the payment and fees portion of your contract is all in the hands of the third-party payer. Now, we're talking all about this in today's episode, so let's just dive right into it. You're listening to the Legal Page Podcast, where we chat about life and business with a legal twist. I'm Paige, attorney and photographer helping online businesses and creatives tackle their business dreams without breaking out in hives. No more legal mumbo jumbo. This podcast features simple, bite-sized advice that'll have you legally legit in no time. Are you ready? Let's get started. As a reminder, before we get into this episode, I am legally obligated to give my disclaimer. So I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. All legal information I talk about on this episode is intended for the masses and a large variety of different businesses. I am only your attorney when you hire me and we sign an engagement letter for me to work specifically on your legal issues. Please feel free to seek out another attorney in your hometown if you need specific legal advice or contact me for more information. Alrighty, here's the episode, friends. Okay, you guys, let me start off by painting a picture for you that I see all too often. And this is mainly because weddings or large events cost a lot of money. So your clients contact you, you have an initial consultation with them, they are on board, they love you, you guys are all a good fit for each other. But you find out that their dad or their mom or their mother-in-law or father-in-law or grandpa-in-law or Uncle Jim is going to be paying for your services. So literally just last week, I was in a discussion with the Legal Page community on Facebook regarding this issue. So somebody posted that a mother of a bride that she was contracting with was being super forceful towards this particular photographer. And this is the lady who was asking for help and suggestions in our group. So this mother of the bride said that she has had two other daughters that had gotten married. She signed the contracts without the bride and groom also signing for them. She paid the photographer in full and that there was never any problem. So she wasn't going to let her daughter and her daughter's soon-to-be husband sign the contract as well. She was like, you either take it or leave it. This is what I've done in the past for my other daughters. And the photographer, of course, was having an issue with this because she had heard from not only me from a past conference that I spoke at, but from other colleagues in the industry as well, that that was not the right thing to do, that she knew she was going to be serving that bride and the groom on the day of the wedding and not the actual MOB. So here's the thing. Photographers and other wedding vendors like planners and florists and DJs, they're starting to realize the implications of having parents or whoever the third party payor is sign and pay for the services as well as agree to all of the other terms and conditions under the contracts. Ultimately, when they do this, so it's just the parent and you under the contract, it makes them the client, not the spouses who are actually going to be the ones that you serve on the wedding day. So what should you do in this situation? This is the question that I get asked all the time. Because the issue is when something sticky happens down the road, and it probably will when you add in a third party to your contract, who do you talk with about the sticky situation? Do you talk to the bride? Do you talk to the groom? Do you talk to the parent who footed the bill? So does, you know, if MOB pays, does the mom have the rights and obligations under the contract for every single clause? Or do the spouses somehow also have rights even though they didn't sign? Do you have to make that clear in your contract? And then how do you make that clear in your contract? Because many of my clients and people in my Facebook group, you know, they didn't go to law school. They don't know how to write that in their contract. Lots of them just think that adding a little line in their fee clause is good enough, and then they hope and cross their fingers that that will cover their behind. But you guys, the issue here surrounds it's a legal theory called privity of contract. And I'm not going to get into the fine details of privity of contract, but really, the doctrine is just a common law principle which explains that a contract cannot confer rights, so give rights, or impose obligations upon any person who is not a party to the contract. And the premise here is that only parties to contracts should be able to sue to enforce their rights or claim damages and so on and so forth. So more likely than not, if something bad were to happen to a wedding client of yours, where only you and say the MOB signed the contract, only the mother is your client and not the spouses, since they also didn't sign the contract. So if a sticky situation were to come up, and like the one that rings true for lots of us photographers here, is the MOB gets really, really picky after the wedding, and like they were all stressed out during the wedding because they were helping like plan and be quasi wedding planners on day of, and they were trying to keep their daughter really happy. And maybe like a couple photos of the MOB, the mother didn't like. But you were just trying to serve the bride and the groom, or the bride and the bride, groom and the groom, what have you. You were trying to serve them really, really, really well. And so you didn't pay a ton of attention to the MOB because you just thought they were paying and weren't really the client, but they were the ones who signed the contract. And then if a sticky situation comes up and say the MOB doesn't pay the rest of your 50% of the services that they agreed to pay you, so they paid their retainer, but they're not paying you now because they didn't like XYZ and all of these different photos, then you have an issue on your hands. You don't know who to go to pay that amount. Are you sitting there wondering how to ensure your contracts are actually protecting your business? And do you want to avoid those common pitfalls that could lose you thousands of dollars later on in the future? If so, I have the perfect class for you. Today and tomorrow, Tuesday, February 18th and Wednesday, February 19th, 2020, I am hosting a free legal class to help you whip your existing contracts into shape. Join me at bit.ly/contract class today. Again, that's bit.ly/contract class. See you there, friend. Now, the flip side of this is a situation that a lot of photographers and wedding vendors have been in, but they really actually have no idea that they're actually in that situation. This is because one spouse signs the contract, and that is the bride. And you are the one contacting the bride all of the time, or the person, say you have two grooms in a wedding, like usually one of the grooms is more in tune with all of the wedding planning per se. So just, you know, when I use bride, that's for all intents and purposes what I'm talking about. So the bride is the one that you are communicating with. They are like your number one client under this agreement. But you are photographing, of course, both spouses on the wedding day and potentially even adding in like engagement sessions to part of that contract. So the groom, because they don't sign the contract, they're what's called a non-legally binding client that you still offer services to. And of course, you serve your fanny off during the day of the wedding for. And then even though the bride signed the contract and is your main point of communication, you probably, and this is the situation that I'm talking about, have no idea that she used her dad's credit card online to pay for the photography. Because what I see happen all too often is you're talking with the bride and then you send the contract online through your CRM system to your bride's email. And then your bride signs the contract, but they're using 5 different credit cards to pay for all of these different vendors' services. And one of them happens to be the dad's credit card. So now, picture this. You have the bride as your legally binded client who assumed all of the rights and obligations under the contract, but then you have dad paid, and you still are probably serving the groom on the wedding day and likely taking some pointers from him and suggestions from him on what he wants photographed. And that's if, you know, he's one of those grooms that really does have an opinion on the day of, and lots of them do. So you have like one legal client and two like non-legally binding clients. Okay, now legally speaking, under this situation, even though someone else has paid her dad here, she does have this other partner, which is the groom, she is on the hook for the contract. She's the sole person under the contract that's signed. So say if the second half of the payment is due and late, then you have to only go to the bride for responsibility under the contract, not this third-party payor. And you probably didn't even know there was this third-party payor. And because you probably had no idea, it can get stickier. Because what if she says then that, well, my dad paid and now my husband-to-be is supposed to pay up, but he's not under the contract, but he told me that he was going to do so. It can just, you guys, it's like a snowball effect. It can get so convoluted and confusing. And then you're talking to like three different people, but nobody actually signed the contract to begin with. Okay, this is where two big things come into play as a wedding vendor. And this is where we really need to focus in. So if you're sitting in your car and you're listening in, this is where I want you to be like, okay, what are the two things Paige told me to do? First is communication. You need to ask every single time who is paying for the services you are offering. It is as simple as putting it as part of your workflow every time and within every contractual situation that comes up. So if you are just talking to one party, but you know you're probably going to serve at least two, especially in a wedding situation, and potentially there's other decision makers involved in the process. So I always suggest you ask them like during your initial consultation, or you put it as part of your booking questionnaire, or you actually like email back and forth prior to sending your contract through your online client management system. You want to ask them if someone else is part of the decision-making process or if anyone else is going to help with the payment for your services. So just add that in somewhere into your workflow. So it's really consistent and you do it every time, because that is important for evidence purposes later on that you did ask if a third-party payer was going to be part of the contract. Okay, so then if they say that there is going to be, say, dad or mom or mother-in-law or father-in-law or grandpa-in-law paying, and you are okay with accepting that third-party payor's payment, you need to get legal documents in place. So that is step two. You need to get permission from the clients who are your spouses on the day of the wedding, and then clearly outline the responsibilities with the paying party in another legal document. Okay, so step one, clearly communicate with your clients about how you set up the client relationship in the contract. So if they know that this is how you do this, it is part of your general business practices, it really just goes to show that you are a valued and experienced wedding vendor who knows how to ensure that everyone is legally bound some way or the other under the contract, and that you know how to set that up properly so that there's no question later on down the road. So the first one is communication. The second step is to add in what's called a third-party payor addendum to your existing contract. Of course, we're going to go back here a little bit. I always highly suggest that both clients sign your contract. This is what's called joint and several liability. It's something I learned about my first semester of law school in my contracts class, and I'll never forget Professor Panarella pounding this type of situation into all of our heads as we were furiously typing during our first semester of law school as 1Ls. But joint and several liability is important because you want both client one and client two on board with, and of course, liable for the responsibilities under your service contract. And then, so that is part of, they sign the bottom of the whole contract. I usually call this an agreement with a capital A. So the entire four corners of the contract is called the agreement. Both client one and client two sign on at the bottom. And then you have an addendum to the contract that's called a third-party payor addendum, and they sign that addendum to your existing contract, and that addendum specifically outlines what the payor's roles and responsibilities are. So you guys, the addendum should have the following information listed out in it in very simple, clear, concise, and proper legal language. So the first thing you want to list out is that this third-party payor is not the client you are serving on the wedding day or the event day, prior to the event day, or after the wedding day for all intensive service purposes. They are only signing on to the addendum for payment purposes. It's essentially like they are gifting in monetary form a payment to your clients that are signing on for the services you're providing. Are you ready to finally ditch the constant second guessing of whether your business is actually protected and legitimate? Do you have the exact steps you need to take to be legally legit today without jumping through a million hoops or going down rabbit holes you know nothing about? Are you ready to stop piecing together your contracts from random Google searches and get them squared away once and for all? Are you ready to find that legal clarity and purpose you've been missing so that you can feel confident in your legal positioning? And are you ready to understand what other contracts you need in place in your business aside from your general client agreement that will help you get protected and ensure that your business is 10 times more covered? Well, you're in luck. Join me for my brand new free workshop where I will show you the exact path you need to legitimize your business contracts and move forward with less fear and more confidence. Sign up at bit.ly/contract class. Again, bit.ly/contract class. See you there, my friend. Second thing you want to list out in this addendum is that the third-party payor, if they don't pay, that the clients will still be on the hook and need to cough up the cash if, say, there's other payments that are due. Lots of wedding vendors do small amounts of retainers, like less than 25% of the total cost, and then they split up. Like lots of times there's payment plans for, you know, weddings and events that are very expensive. Or, you know, lots of industry standard also says 50% retainer, 50% due 30 days or 60 days prior to the wedding date. And in those situations, say the parent, the third party payor, is the one who is paying for that retainer, that they are also on the hook for the 50% that is the remainder due. And if they don't pay, then what the addendum says is that the clients who signed the original agreement are also on the hook to pay. So that ultimately saves your patootie because you got three people on the hook to pay. And if one doesn't, then you go to the next one and then you go to the next one. And then, of course, for fee purposes, you can always have legal implications down the road for all three of them to cough up the amount that you are supposed to get for your services. Okay, so that's step two. Of course, you would just want to make sure all three of them are still on the hook. The third party is number one to pay, and then you can go to the clients. The third thing you need to have in this addendum is what's called the non-refundable retainer will transfer over to the third party payor as well. So it will be applicable to the third party payor no matter what happens. So I have seen this come up Honestly, very, very recently with a client of mine, and they had a father pay for the photography services, and then the wedding actually got canceled. And then the father came back and said, well, I want my entire retainer back because my daughter didn't end up getting married. And they didn't have anything about the non-refundable retainer transferring as well to the third-party payor. And so that was kind of a sticky situation that my client had to work around. And she ended up having to completely refund the retainer because it just got too messy. And she didn't want to, you know, have anything happen to her business. It was just better for her to just send the retainer back to this third-party payor. But if she would have had this in an addendum, she would have been covered. And she would have been able to keep that retainer because she booked out those services for her wedding date on her calendar months and months and months, if not a year in advance. And then she said no to plenty of other potential clients on that date. Okay, so let's go through again. One is the third party payor is not the client. Two, if the third party doesn't pay, your clients are still on the hook to pay. And three, the non-refundable retainer also applies to the third party payor. And then the fourth thing you want to point out, of course, is that it, for all intensive service purposes, including the specific services you're providing, whether that's photographs after the event date, whether that's DJ services on the event date, whether that's floral services on the event date, you want to point out that X client is the one that is your main point of communication for all service intensive purposes, and that the third party payor will not have a say in the matter. Okay, you guys. So all of this to say, be as specific as possible with your client contracts. And when situations like this come up, do not hesitate to reach out to your colleagues in the industry, to me, to another attorney for help. And most importantly, always, 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 always add a third party payor addendum to your contracts and get that third party to sign it so that it is all clear and all of the communication and roles and responsibilities are laid out from the get-go on who is paying and who are your clients. Now, good news is, you guys, the legal page created this addendum just for you, and it is in the shop now under the photography contracts section and wedding vendor contracts section. Just go to thelegalpageshop.com, and again, that is thelegalpage, P-A-I-G-E, shop.com. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. I hope it was really helpful. I know lots of people have questions on third-party payor addendums and how to add third-party payors into contracts and services. Like I said, feel free to hop into the Legal Page community on Facebook. All you have to do is type that into Facebook. You'll find our private group. You just need to make sure, I just need to make sure that you are a actual business owner. So you just answer a few simple questions. We'll add you into the group, and that you can ask any questions you have in that general forum. I hope you all have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you again next week, same time, same place. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Legal Page Podcast. See, I told you being legally legit isn't so scary. Be sure to visit thelegalpage.com for all show notes. And it would be super awesome if you could head over to iTunes and leave a review. Last but not least, don't forget to join my free Facebook group for unlimited legal and biz Q&A. Chat soon, Legal Pagers.